This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome in, Maggie and Perloff Show. No Maggie today. Maggie is taking a well-deserved break in parts unknown. She is somewhere very warm right now. EJ Stewart is sitting in, and we're both very jealous of Maggie. But I think Maggie would have loved the story of the day. The Denver Nuggets fire coach Mike Malone and general manager Calvin Booth out of nowhere with a week left in the season. Unprecedented, at least I don't know a precedent, in the NBA for a team that has a great chance to at least go to the conference final in the Denver Nuggets, has the best player in the world in Nikola Jokic. Doesn't make any sense. But EJ, I got to tell you, I've learned my lesson.
Okay.
Because you were here. Yep. And I sat in this chair and squinted and said, well, maybe the Dallas Mavericks knew what they were doing when they traded Luka Doncic. You did not say that, to your credit. And I rationalized and I said, oh, okay, well, they're getting Anthony Davis and their defense is going to be better, Kyrie and Anthony Davis. I was an idiot. It was a dumb move. It made no sense. There were children making that decision. This is the exact same thing. There's no rationalizing this. There's no squinting and saying, well, they were going to fire him anyway. They weren't going to win the playoffs. It doesn't matter. This is completely unacceptable. And the NBA has lost its mind. There's so much pressure to win now that these franchises are making decisions that don't make any sense. And there's just no way to explain this.
There really isn't. And what I will say is, look, the Denver Nuggets post All-Star break had not been playing well, right? I think they were 9-11. There were some games where Murray was out and Jokic was out, but they seemed to be a team that was definitely, you know, to me, seemed like just trying to get to the playoffs, but perhaps maybe there was some signs of concern. Russell Westbrook, your favorite player, I say ironically, started to show some signs that perhaps the early success he was having was starting to become a detriment later into the season. So it's I see where the Nuggets started to struggle, but I agree, it's difficult to really wrap your head around a championship caliber coach who is taking the Nuggets into multiple deep playoff runs. And right before you get to the playoffs, you pull the plug. I guess my question to you, Pearl, is does this kind of not taint the Western Conference playoffs? But look, we have the Nuggets now coming in with a new head coach. The Grizzlies, they have won three in a row, but they have a new head coach coming into the playoffs. The playoffs are where coaching matters the most. So we're going to see a situation where this first round that everyone was really excited about because of how good the West is, and perhaps people were upset about how boring the regular season has been. Has this been kind of tainted because the Nuggets pulling the plug on their season, essentially?
Well, I understand the question because the Nuggets were obviously a dangerous team, but aren't there so many other contenders here that they don't even need the Nuggets? Because you have, obviously, the front runners in the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yep.
I think the Lakers and the Warriors have shown enough that they're a serious team right now. I mean, honestly, as far as the public, aren't they watching the Warriors and the Lakers more carefully? And doesn't, for that account, doesn't this make the Lakers more of a threat because they have problems with the Nuggets? So in a way, you could argue it juices up the Western Conference playoffs because now we might see LeBron in the conference finals, where the Nuggets, I think, were a big threat the way they're built to the Lakers and specifically. So it's all matchup dependent. Yeah. No, I mean, and also there are other teams here. The Clippers are playing really well.
Clippers are the team that people got us all paying attention to.
And we know Houston, everyone calls them this young team, but they have a couple of veterans too.
Oh, Fred VanVleet's a champion.
Yeah, and Dylan Brooks is, I mean, you never know what's going to happen with that dude. So generally, yeah, I think the Western Conference has plenty of juice. This does not bother me. Does it take away a little bit for you?
It does, only because I think it's a great point that the Warriors and the Lakers are looking at this and smiling, right? Because I think they are the teams that saw the Denver Nuggets and said, that's a team we probably don't want to play. Like, they see the Oklahoma City Thunder and say, okay, good team, young team, won a million games, but they don't have the experience. They saw a team like the Rockets, young team, zero experience. I mean, you know, such of those guys that won on other teams, right? So I think they were like, okay, we can get those teams, we'll be straight. I think now they look at this and say, wow, the Nuggets now may even be an easier challenge if we have to face them, because they're going to be going to a playoff series with a coach who's never coached in a playoff series before, who doesn't know the day-to-day, game-to-game adjustments. So to me, that takes away from it, because, yes, the conference finals may be better because maybe we'll have bigger stars, but the first round, the Western Conference, is supposed to be Mortal Kombat. It was supposed to be a very difficult challenge for all of these teams. And to me, I want to see great competition throughout. I don't want to see the Lakers and Warriors potentially get a pass to the second round because they're getting coaches who are inexperienced and not ready for this moment.
Well, unfortunately, the Lakers and the Warriors keep ending up facing each other in the first round. Now, we were worried they'd face each other as a 4-5, and now they're facing each other as a 3-6. But the standings are crazy. There are four teams ranging from the 4 seed to the 7 seed, or 47-32, same exact record. So there's a good chance Denver, if this coaching move actually hurts them, which probably could in the short term, you can see that, they fall into the play-in, maybe not even make it out of the play-in, and then they're not even there to talk about. That scenario is very, very likely. And Minnesota is only one game behind them, and they're playing well, too. So there's a chance we don't even see the Nuggets in the real playoffs.
Yeah, there's no team from 3-8 in the Western Conference standings has clinched a playoff spot. They're play-in bound, but nobody has clinched a playoff spot. So you're right. There's a chance that we may not even see the Nuggets make the playoffs, because you're talking about a two-game difference between 3-8. This is a absolute lockstep kind of race you have here in the Western Conference. And the other question I have for you, Pearl, when it comes to superstars, right? Because we're always looking to see which superstar is going to go to the next team, right? Like, we've been trying to put Giannis on teams. Yeah. We've been trying to put other guys on teams. And sometimes we've seen superstars get traded and we don't even expect it, like we saw with Luka Doncic. Is this a precursor potentially to Nikola Jokic maybe saying, you know what, this looks chaotic. We fired our head coach and our general manager, who reportedly were at odds the last 2 years. They apparently couldn't stand each other. There were factions in multiple parts of the organization.
The general manager and the coach, that is.
Yes, general manager and the head coach. I'm sorry.
Not Nikola Jokic. Jokic seems like he's always been considered close to Mike Malone.
Yeah.
So I think that is where people are like, wait a second, isn't this Jokic's guy?
Yeah. So like, if you were him, would you look at this and say, you know what, I got the championship, maybe it's time for me to move on? Because I'm looking at the situation, and that Western Conference, as you mentioned, is not getting any easier. The Thunder aren't going anywhere. The Rockets aren't going anywhere. Even if those teams don't win this year, you're still going to have to go through those teams. Now you're going to do it with a new head coach and a new general manager and a roster that has lost talent over the last 2 or 3 years, some of the free agency guys.
It's definitely a huge concern. Jokic just turned 30. Very recently. We've always talked about it. It's crazy that Jokic is so much younger. He's getting a little older now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that there's one amazing fit for him off the top of my head. Oh, can you imagine if he got to Golden State with Steph Curry?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Lakers.
No, I mean, the Lakers, of course, collect superstars. And it would make sense. They've gotten every other great center in the history of the NBA to go there. But imagine style-wise, in Golden State, I think he's even better fit there with all the passing. He'd be amazing.
Well, if Jokic played with the Warriors, Steph Curry might get 6-7 championships. I'm not even joking.
Curry could get another 2 years out of that.
Yeah, exactly, because you talk about so much how the Warriors do such a great job of moving the ball, right, of this constant motion, constant passing offense. Steve Kerr does a great job kind of adopting that stuff from Coach Popovich. And you add the best passing big man maybe of all time, a guy who played point center.
Bill Walton might have an issue with that.
I love Bill Walton.
Arvydas Sabonis might have an issue. Arvydas Sabonis was like a globetrotter out there. You do not know.
Those guys were great. None of them average almost a triple-double.
Yeah, no, Jokic. There's a good argument. Well, Walton might have. Actually, we checked when Walton's knees were actually healthy. He was an incredible passer.
For sure.
we're going old school here. But, you know, more realistically, if he's going to leave Denver, Denver might send him east. I mean, I think we're getting ahead of ourselves, mm-hmm. but that's the conversation that Denver Nuggets have put on themselves here. Everyone's yeah. talking about it now, like, oh, they're going to lose Joker. They are Dallas Mavericks 2.0. Did they not learn anything from Dallas trading Luka? It feels like they are falling into the same exact path. And aren't you annoyed by this? What do you think it says about the state of the league that two teams that are in good playoff position, the Memphis Grizzlies and the Denver Nuggets, trade their coach within a month of the playoffs? I think it's a damning statement about the NBA, that the expectations mm-hmm. of the owners are just way too high and that they're haphazard and they don't, you know, they start to pay this luxury tax and the apron and they go crazy and expect these coaches to do things that they can't. And then it's just disrespectful to fire a guy who has a championship. It's disrespectful to fire him this close to the playoffs. He did not deserve this. Mike Malone, I mean, come on. How many teams right now are going to line up to hire that guy? Guy can obviously coach basketball. Yeah. Nothing about this makes sense. I'm very, very down on the Denver Nuggets ownership.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that, because talking about those other coaches, right, and seeing how they were reacting to the news. Tom Thibodeau, who a lot of Knicks fans looking at him say, hey, it might be nice to have him over here yes. in New York.
Oh, my God.
But, like,
if the Knicks fire their coach with 8 days left and hire this guy, I can defend that move.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know, right? I think a lot of coaches are looking at this situation saying, this may be terrible for the health and future of our profession. I want you guys to hear Joe Mazzulla, who is a championship coach. He just won a championship. His team has 59 wins this season. They are one of the best teams in the NBA, still one of the favorites to win a title. And this is how he feels walking into his job every day, apparently, according to him.
Part of what motivates me, but I wake up every day saying this could be my last day. And that's not, you know, it's just, you have to have that type of perspective, because it gives you gratitude. It also keeps you, you know, hungry. And so it's just, you have to have a healthy balance of, you want this for as long as you can. At the same time, you're very much replaceable, because, you know, that's just how it works. And, you know, so every day I remind myself of my own mortality. And I think that's what kind of keeps me in a perspective and, you know, and a gratitude of, you know, the opportunity that you have.
I mean, Pearl, he's talking about mortality every day being maybe his last. I mean, that doesn't sound like a guy who's very happy in his job. Now, I know Joe Mazzulla is a little intense, and I get that. But I think a lot of coaches are looking at this to say, oh, no, if there's any chance somehow that one of these guys, whether it be the head coach of the Grizzlies or the new interim head coach of the Nuggets, if those guys end up becoming the next Paul Westhead, a guy who takes over a job midseason and wins a championship, if somehow those teams go on runs, this is going to change the entire landscape of head coaching in the NBA, because you could end up being in a situation where teams say, you know what, like, it doesn't matter when we pull the plug on a coach. Mm-hmm. If it's the right move, let's do it. So I'm actually very fascinated to see if these teams have success, will this continue moving forward? And I don't know if that's great for the league, if you have a situation where coaches could just be fired at any moment, at any time. I think coaches do add some character. They're not the stars the NBA players are, but I think the idea that you can just throw a guy around here and there, I don't think that helps the league at all.
Well, define success. How is this possibly going to end up in success?
Well, if the Nuggets go to the conference finals or go to the finals, that's successful. If you fired Malone and then you say, well, you know what, for a team that maybe would have got there anyway, but still you would say, you know what, you can't look at this and say, hey, like, us firing Malone is the reason why we didn't win a title. You'd say, you know what, like, a rookie coach went in there and you know, they're not playing well right now. So if they turned it around and all of a sudden they beat the Lakers, they beat some of these teams, they get close to the championship, or they make it to the finals and lose to the Celtics, that would be successful, no?
That would definitely be successful. I have news for you. That's not happening. You just fell into the, what if Anthony Davis is amazing on defense and Kyrie Irving just fills the vacuum that Luka left? No, that's not happening. Again, maybe I'll be just as wrong on this one. There's no way, especially in this Western Conference in the year 2025, how intense this playoff field is, that's not happening. Because this is a sign of weakness to fire your coach with a week left. It shows you really have no backbone as an owner. I don't think there's any chance of success. And we've seen the Nuggets break apart this championship level team. Yeah. I think they're very top heavy. They've spent a lot to keep their top five guys and they've lost their entire bench. They've made a mistake. I don't necessarily blame Calvin Booth, the fired GM. It's tough if you're an NBA champion and you don't want to really spend a ton of money, it's hard to keep those players together. But we've seen the Nuggets have been slowly eroding from the championship team. And now I think it's no longer slow. I don't think there's any chance this is going to be a success.
The only reason why I hold a glimmer of hope that this will be an NBA a success is, and it's an indictment on these NBA players, because, and I know we have sound on it, maybe we'll get to it later, but Michael Malone a couple of weeks ago, and Michael Malone is a straight shooter. We talked about coaches yesterday and whether or not guys are, you know, kind of hard asses, or some guys are, you know, more a little light. Mike Malone is one of those hard-nosed coaches where he will go into the media, he will blast his team, he will blast players, and he's very, very cold sometimes when it comes to talking about his team when they're not playing well. I wonder if he was such an issue, or the players were having such an issue potentially with him and his hard coaching, maybe adding a new guy who's maybe going to be more than, I'm putting my arm around you and I'm going to say, hey, it's okay, buddy, like, you know, we're going to get him next time. Maybe that gives this team a jolt.
In a week? Look, Pearl,
mental health and the way people feel about how they're going out there in the game is real, right?
Oh, is this a Gen Z thing? Mental health? You're explaining this with a mental health thing?
I'm not even saying it as like a to say this is good for the players. I'm saying that this is a reality, that the NBA players run the league. And if they don't like a coach or how they're coaching, they can say, you know what? I don't want them. Get them out of there. And they will tank their effort. They will not give the kind of motivation or the kind of you know output that you would expect until a coach gets fired. I mean, Ja Morant, for the most of the season, was in a fog. Yeah, and then they fired their head coach, and now he's averaging 30 over the last 10 games. Like, we see teams and players change when a coach that they don't like gets the boot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not sure if championship level players, like with LeBron. Sure. LeBron, I don't know if he would do that. John Morant hasn't won anything now.
LeBron definitely did it with David Blatt. I mean, he was giving zero effort, and then they fired Blatt, and then he was, all right, time to go time, and then they won a championship. So he did do it.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You said you paint a scenario where the Nuggets were just now have some success. What do you think is more likely, that they don't get out of the play-in or they get to the conference finals?
I'm going to still say they get to the conference finals only because of Jokic.
Okay. Because
get out of the play-in. So you mean get out of the play-in and they don't make the playoffs at all?
Yeah.
They'll get to the playoffs and they could win a round. Because at the end of the day, you're looking at the standings, right? So if you're Denver right now, you have a matchup against the Clippers. I really love how the Clippers are playing right now, and I think they're maybe the most underrated team in the NBA, and that's, you know, damning words, because we all know what happened with Harden and Kawhi's health and everything with the Clippers. But, like, that's not a matchup I look at and say, okay, the Denver Nuggets have no chance.
But that matchup, that is very unlikely to happen because all the teams. So their remaining games, the Nuggets have at Sacramento, Memphis, and at Houston. Now, Houston, I don't know, the last game of the year might be locked into their spot.
Right, so Houston could be tanking, so to speak.
So they might get that win, but there are now four teams with the same exact record. Yeah, I guess because they're not in the play-in, I don't really want to do this bet, but I think they're closer to falling out of the play-in than getting the conference finals. They've lost four in a row. They're obviously not playing well. They have Russell Westbrook on their team. That is not going to work in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, look, right now the evidence is really leaning to your side, not just previous years, but the way he's played the last few weeks. But that would suggest they'd have to lose to, like, a Memphis or Minnesota, and then lose to Dallas or Sacramento. I think there are too many
steps. I think Minnesota beat them last year. Yeah, I think they'd be a real threat to Denver in the play-in. Then they'd have to lose to Dallas or Sacramento.
That's where it's hard for me to see, right? Like, because then
it depends how they react to this coach.
Yeah.
All right, I will give you that. I didn't realize they played the Rockets in their last game, who are already cemented at the number two seed.
Yes,
will not be playing their starters. So that gives Denver a win. Man, it's crazy how the West is like this right now. And the East, on the other hand, teams are, you know, like, are we going to be in the lottery or are we going to be in the play-in? What's going on here? The East is totally kind of pathetic. I think that underscores some of what's going on here, by the way. The West is too competitive right now, and I think the owners are making moves and wondering, well, we have a championship-level roster. We should be in the finals. You know, we have Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
We have Luka Doncic. We have Ja Morant. We should be in the finals. Why aren't you getting me to the finals? You're fired. But the timing is indefensible. If anyone can defend Nuggets ownership, give us a call. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Does anybody think the Nuggets know what they're doing? I do not. EJ at least give some player coach theory. That was not bad. It was a good effort.
It's the only way I can see this turning out. It doesn't mean it's the right move, but I think there's a chance to say, you know what, if these players just are not responding because Mike Malone is just too tough and he's too hard and he's too honest, and they need a softer coach because these players in this generation are just softer when it comes to that aspect of coaching, then they might play better. I mean, that's the only thing I can say, because otherwise it looks like you're throwing in the towel in the season. I think it's a disgrace to the fans, right?
Well,
you're investing the whole season and you fire your coach a week before the playoffs?
I know. I know. Go with that latter explanation. That's what's happening here. They don't think they're going to win the title, and they're just like, let's get a jump on the coaching search. It's three games left in the season. Just whatever. This is, it makes me mad. I really do not like this giving up on the season. That's what, again, my bigger problem with the NBA, too, is, God, if you teams are thinking, if we don't win the championship, let's just mail it in. I just feel like there's a lot of that around the league. There's a lot of teams who give up. My Sixers completely gave up on the season, obviously.
Yeah, they quit.
In epic, epic fashion. And fans are happy about it because now they're going to be in the lottery. Lost 12 in a row. Amazing. Okay, coming up. Going to change the topic a little bit. We have a Mel Kiper mock draft. I'll tell you right now. Maggie's not here, and I think she would agree with me. I will stop anything. I will pull over to the side of the road. A Kiper mock draft comes out. I need to read it immediately, and I want to share it with you because it's really, really interesting news on the quarterbacks, and there are a lot of them. We'll get to that next right here, Maggie and Perloff Show. Back on Maggie and Perloff. Maggie's out today. Executive producer EJ Stewart sitting in the big chair. It's a good day. EJ really knows the NBA back and forth, so he did his best to explain why the Nuggets would fire head coach Mike Malone. Your theory, at least it's a theory, that maybe the players were not responding to Malone's style and they need a hug, but that's kind of weird with three games left in the season.
And it's weak. And like I said before, like it's not like I hate this. Michael Malone, let me be clear, and I've said this a bunch, he's my favorite coach in the NBA. I think that I can make the case that he's the best. I think he's been handicapped to some degree by the lack of talent they've had and the guys they've lost, because people have kind of complained about his rotations being rigid and he's, you know, Joker and Murray are playing the most minutes they played in their careers. I'm like, yeah, well, they don't really have anyone else to play, so that's a problem. So, but no, I think Malone's awesome. I've always enjoyed him. So I hate that he got fired, but I think it's just a microcosm of what today's NBA is. And the reports were that there is this conflict with maybe within the team that they felt like Murray and Jokic were getting much more preferential treatment than Malone. Excuse me, than the other guys, right? Malone was in some ways like kind of giving those guys a little more less of the heat than he would some of the other role players, and that was causing friction amongst the team. As you said in the break, it's like, yeah, no crap, right? It's maybe two future Hall of Famers. Like, of course they're going to get more preferential treatment, but that's just the NBA now. Yeah. If guys can't buy into a coach, or the sun doesn't come up right one day, or they wake up on the wrong side of the bed, they go give 50% effort. this is what happened. So if you're an owner and you're a general manager, now this was taken out of the general manager's hand because the general manager also got fired. But you're an owner, you're kind of stuck. You're kind of at the whim of how these players react. So I think this, while it's desperate and I think it's silly, I think this is a microcosm of what we see in the NBA today, which is that the players have the ultimate power.
Yeah, but if you're the owner and your number one priority is keeping Jokic, is this move going to help? I'm not sure it's clear that it is. It feels like you might be hurting yourself here. A four-game losing streak and you fire Mike Malone, is that the kind of stability that's going to attract Jokic long-term? I doubt it. It feels like this is the beginning of the end.
I can't imagine that. But to be fair, they've had this friction with Malone and with Calvin Booth, the general manager, for 2 years. And again, reporting out there has been that Joker has seen this and has not enjoyed seeing this. Now, it sounds like he's more of a Malone guy, but that this has frustrated him, that this has been this dysfunction within the organization. Mm-hmm. So he sees that too. So maybe they say, hey, look, like we screwed up with pairing these two guys. Like, we're going to give you a clean slate. We're going to give you a bunch of say who the next head coach is. Now, I would be concerned about that because it was his idea to bring in Russell Westbrook. He was lobbying publicly to bring in Russell Westbrook. And early in the season, it looked like, oh, wow, Russ is giving them a lot. And now the Denver fans want to shoot him into the moon. Like, they can't wait for him to leave. So, like, if you're really going to say, all right, we're going to actually clean the slate up completely and give Joker even more power and maybe pick his coach and his general manager – early signs of GM Jokic aren't great, right? We know LeBron, Le GM, Joker, or Joke GM. Yeah. I don't know how you would call it. He hasn't been that great either.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's better at picking actual horses than teammates. Give us a call if you have any explanation for what the Nuggets are doing. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Or if you want Jokic on your team, if you got a good fit, I'd like to hear it because I'm already imagining him elsewhere.
Brooklyn Nets.
Ryan Botcher. Weighing in. Was that in my ear or over air?
No, that was on air.
Oh,
was
okay.
On air. The Brooklyn Nets will get Jokic.
Yeah. Okay.
My dreams.
You should have kept that over in within ourselves. I don't think that makes any sense. Okay. Andrew Bogus is here for headlines, but before we get to headlines, I want to share with you who has read the Mel Kiper mock draft. EJ, have you read it?
I've read it.
Are you out? Okay, Bogus, have you read it?
I have not.
Okay. Kiper gives the Cleveland Browns and the New York Giants quarterbacks. Bum, bum, bum.
Oh.
Can you guess who?
At 2 and 3, or does he move them around?
I'm not telling you that.
Oh. Okay.
That's the trick.
Okay. Ah. So that means...
Now we're getting good. Now we're getting spicy here.
So that means... that means the Giants are staying at 3 and taking Shedeur Sanders.
Okay.
And the Browns are trading somewhere in the first round to take Jackson Dart.
That is a good guess.
Survey says?
That is not right.
Okay.
Wait, Manny or Ryan Botcher on the other side of the glass, have you guys read the mock draft?
I haven't read the entire mock draft, but I know what happens in the first 3 picks.
Okay.
According to Mel.
You're out too. Ryan.
That's right. I did not.
So who do you think the Giants and the Browns end up with quarterback in this mock draft?
Okay. I think the Browns take Shedeur.
Okay.
And the Giants trade back to take Dart.
Okay.
They take Hunter and then they'll trade back into the first to take Dart.
So Mel Kiper, God bless him, has the number 33 pick.
Todd.
The number 33 pick, a quarterback, Tyler Shuck to the Cleveland Browns, which is actually kind of interesting because there's a lot of reporting that the Browns love Milroe. A lot of big-time NFL draft experts saying the Browns are very interested in Jalen Milroe, but they have Tyler Shuck. You know what? They've drafted old quarterbacks before, Whedon, and they've drafted tall quarterbacks before, Derek Anderson. So Tyler Shuck fits right in.
Couch, right?
Oh, that's worked out very well.
But Tyler Shuck's 25. He's ready to play right away, so that makes a lot of sense. 34, the New York Giants, Bogues, Jalen Milroe.
Well, wait, first of all, this is an unfair question.
Why?
This is second round.
Right. Well, that was the trick.
You need to give me a bigger parameter here.
Well, it was an impossible assignment.
You got to put on your GM hat, Bogues. You failed.
Yeah. I did. I made a trade.
Kiper's playing 4D chess here. I mean, Joe Shane's kid said, get me Jalen Milroe, and the Giants are following through on this.
To quote Roddy Piper, when you think you have the answers, Perloff changes the question.
Yeah. Now, so I'm assuming
Ryan Piper
this...
say that? I don't remember.
Somebody wrote it for him.
It's documented, yes.
So Jackson Dart's off the board in the first round before we get to the Shuck Milroe back-to-back?
Yeah, Dart going 26 to the Rams. Now, which is a really interesting, Sean McVay said in the press, I haven't done any work on the quarterbacks. but everyone is secretly linking.
Lied to.
If Shedeur falls, people think he would be a great fit with Sean McVay. Maybe the Rams trade up a little bit, but they drafted 26. It's going to be hard to get a quarterback. Obviously, Matthew Stafford is older. Makes sense. I wonder here if the Giants and Browns really want a quarterback. Do they have to trade in the first? You get the fifth year guarantee, and also you have to be very scared of teams trading in to get quarterbacks there. That's where Jordan Love went at 26. That's famously where Lamar Jackson went at 31. So I don't know that the Browns and the Giants can leave the first day thinking that they're going to get a quarterback in the second round.
Can I give you an EJ draft commandment? I would never draft a quarterback in the second round. The hit rate on those guys is like -10%. Like it never works out. And I don't know why, because there are third or fourth rounders who end up being much
somebody
better.
Somebody got scarred by Christian Hackenberg.
Yes, right. But
this crap is crap.
There is so much history, so much data that suggests that the guy is not good enough for a first round grade. Mm. Do not take him in the first round. Maybe take him later or whatever. But if those guys in Milroe and in Shuck, if they're not good enough to be first round picks, and you're thinking, well, maybe I'll take him in the second round. What we've seen with history is that those guys end up not being star players. They end up not being guys who are difference makers. So the Browns and the Giants need difference makers. They don't need just a guy or a guy they're going to have for a couple years and they're going to take a flyer on and then send them packing. Like, I would not draft a quarterback in the second round. I just keep waiting, and maybe you get we saw Holly Rowe yesterday say Will Howard is someone she liked. Maybe take a flyer on the kid from Texas, Quinn Ewers, or Bogus, as we like to say. Like, I would do that rather than take a guy high in the second round. Those quarterbacks never hit.
Who was
you should go tell that to Boomer, by the way.
Yeah, well, which
Boomer was the second round.
Well, that
pick.
That was like the 80s.
He might
have
been the 24th pick in the draft, but he was the second pick.
What round? Second round. Wow. Super Bowl winning quarterback. Oh, and I'm trying to remember who won the Super Bowl this year. Oh, yeah, my Philadelphia Eagles. What round did Jalen Hurts go in?
He went second round, but those
second round pick.
Those are anomalies.
Drew Brees, second round pick.
You know, my favorite.
Randall Cunningham, second round pick.
Andy Dalton,
Yeah.
We're talking about a range of like 30 years. We're talking about, we're naming guys that were drafted before I was born. Like, that's my point.
Andy Dalton?
No, Randall Cunningham and Boomer Esiason were drafted before I was born. Like 10, 15 years before I was born.
Great quarterbacks.
They were both awesome. But, like, I think when you look at recent history, and Jalen Hurts is a great example, but outside of him, there are not a lot of examples of second round quarterbacks.
Well, listen, you're a Jets fan. So you've been burned by Geno. You've been burned by Hackenberg.
I think that's your commandment, is don't be a Jet fan in the draft.
Oh, it's not that just Jets.
J-E-S.
You know, because, well, part of it is a lot of teams do trade into the first round to get their guy.
Right.
So I'm not sure. It is a pretty good commandment. We're just trying to pick it apart. I kind of agree. Maggie, by the way, is always like, draft a quarterback late and develop him. Like, that's not, you don't develop a quarterback. But I have some other picks here. Drew Locke, not so much. DeShone Kizer, no.
Yeah.
Christian Hackenberg, terrible. Derek Carr, hit, big hit.
Carr was good. Yeah.
I mean, come on, for a second round pick. He was 13-3 in his second year. He
and
was
every
a
team
big
wants
hit.
To get
Jimmy
rid of
Garoppolo. Him. I would say confusing
useful.
Because he was Brady,
fine.
But yeah.
Good
he was
looking
a hit.
Though. Very good
fine.
Looking.
Geno Smith, it turned out, was talented. He was just at the wrong
terrible
team.
Pick for the Jets.
Brock Osweiler got
terrible.
It.
Terrible.
Hard
yeah,
pass.
No, he wasn't terrible. He started games.
Brock
for the
Osweiler?
Super Bowl.
That doesn't
you,
mean he's
are you
was
kidding
good
me?
Pick.
He was terrible.
Osweiler helped them win that Super Bowl.
Tall glass of water.
What?
Brock Osweiler was not terrible. Brock Osweiler was an important part of that Super Bowl team. Like, he came in and steadied the ship when Peyton couldn't even throw the ball 8 yards. And I think he got paid at one point, too. Andy Dalton hit. Colin Kaepernick hit. Jimmy Clausen, bust. Mm. Pat White, poor Pat White.
wide receiver out there.
Yeah, Pat White almost got killed on a play. Not kidding. He just got a big hit. Brian Brohm, Chad Henne.
What about Chad Henne?
Oh, yeah.
If,
no,
if the Giants, I mean,
I was thinking of Chad
Pennington.
I was thinking of Chad Pennington.
Oh, yeah, he looked at me with a glimmer in his eye because he knows how much I love Chad Pennington.
Kevin
I'm
Cobb,
like, what am I supposed to say to that?
Kevin Cobb, I would argue, hit one of my good friends.
Let me make this clear, though.
Yeah.
If the Giants or Browns are relying on most of the guys that you're talking about to turn around their franchises, they're doomed.
Who's this
Even
guy?
Even the good guys, Jimmy Garoppolo and Derek Carr, those guys wouldn't turn around the Browns and Giants.
Did you want Derek Carr for your Jets off-seasons ago?
No, I wanted Aaron Rodgers.
You did?
Yeah, I was an Aaron Rodgers.
Should have taken Carr.
Why? We would have been same place we are now. The Saints haven't made the playoffs.
2001... Who's this guy, this short guy that the San Diego Chargers drafted? Yeah, so Drew Brees, you ever hear of him?
It took him to 2001 to find me a future Hall of Fame.
You know that 50% of the, 50, maybe even a little higher of the first round quarterbacks bust too.
Sure, and I get that, but I'd rather take the high-end talent than the second round flyer. Because you named some quarterbacks that were in the league for 2-3 years, and they were packing groceries.
30%
they weren't even in the NFL.
Are Jets quarterbacks who failed.
Well, that shows you it's a stupid strategy, right? That doesn't that add to the point that the Jets keep doing it. Maybe we shouldn't be doing it for other teams.
Well, I start off by saying I'm not sure that if you really want Shuck and Milroe, that you're not panicking and trading up. You do see a lot of trades right around there. Did the That you saw last year, the Chiefs traded up for Xavier Worthy, and I can't remember what happened with Xavier Leggett, and there was a bunch of trades around 33-32.
Yeah, Leggett, I think, was the first pick, second round, maybe? Or maybe it was the last pick, I forgot.
I feel like there's always a lot of shenanigans right around there because there's a break between the first round and the second round. We'll see. I wonder if Milroe can go in the first. That's really my new obsession.
Leggett was the 32nd pick.
Yes.
In the first round.
Last pick.
And did the Panthers trade for him?
I believe they did.
They had to, obviously. Yeah, they didn't win the Super Bowl, as I recall.
From the Chiefs via Buffalo.
Yeah. Right, so they traded with the Bills, and the Bills took Keon Coleman.
Correct, with the 33rd pick right after.
That's his incredible personality, but didn't really have the game. All right, Andrew Bogus.
Headlines.
Give us some headlines, and I'm dying to know when you're going to place a certain headline about a certain team that failed miserably last night
show. Everything is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. At least they didn't get blown out this time, but the Knicks still can't beat an elite team.
9 seconds
I'll fight
to go.
All of you.
Tatum into the front court. Tatum steps back away from Ananobi. Three in the air.
Go.
Got it! Jason Tatum ties the game with 2.9 to go.
Sean Grandy said Maxwell, Celtics radio, Tatum forcing OT where the Celtics won at the Garden last night, 119-117, dropping Tom Thibodeau's team to 0-9 against Boston, Cleveland, and OKC.
We didn't start the third the way we would have liked, but we fought back, fixed that, then got down again, came back again, made some hustle plays. And then these games come down to one or two possessions.
That we didn't make.
Bogus, I did the math on that percentage. That's 0%.
Is that good?
No, that's not good.
Okay, so sarcastic Manny likes to ask sometimes. Is that good? Is that bad? Nah. It's bad.
Imagine hearing this from two guys root for the Nets and the Sixers. This is crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
No. But here's the difference. He does have a Sixers hat. I'm not walking in here with a Drazen Petrovic throwback after a Nets random win over the Pelicans last night. You guys change your wardrobe based on Nick results.
We're passionate. Don't be mad because we actually have a backbone on like you.
Backbone? What are you talking about? I didn't pick a different team.
I also do that with the Mets, too. You don't say anything. And you notice it. I will change my
shirt. I have not noticed that you pick clothes based on Met wins.
You didn't see what I wore on the first day of opening day?
It looked like Shea Stadium threw up on him on opening day.
Opening day is opening day. I almost wore a Gary Carter jersey opening day. That's fine. Leaving out two different sets of clothes based on Nick results is a place that I don't follow.
Is it all black for like losses?
I haven't noticed that trend, that it's like a funeral feel. But it's either regular clothes or Knicks gear.
Another Nets fan. That's talking out of the side of his mouth.
Yeah, I don't listen to people whose teams aren't in the playoffs.
I didn't trade five first for Mikal Bridges.
This is la 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 la. I don't hear you. La 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 la.
I came in this morning, and it was either during the game or on social media. A lot of people starting to talk, can the Knicks get out of the first round? I'm not making this up. This is not me.
Oh, come on.
This is not me. Those guys got so mad. We're professionals. You guys take it so personally. You're like 14-year-old Andrew Perloff. You can't look at the Knicks rationally.
No, the reason why that take is ridiculous to me is, look, I think Knicks were out of the first round. I would be shocked if they got bounced in the first round. But my point is, I hate the takes to have no, like, okay, if they get out of the first round, then we'll say, well, you were wrong. You're like, well, the Knicks aren't going to win a championship. It's like, well, no, you said they wouldn't get out of the first round. So, so stand on business when you say things like the Knicks can't get out of the first round. And then when they're wrong, because you will be wrong in a couple of weeks, say, all right, I was wrong. Don't backtrack and say, well, they're not going to win a championship. That's
just Shaq
happen.
Who said it.
Okay. Just a bunch of old heads who are just looking for clicks. Just no research, no thought, just saying words on TV.
It's not just him. There are other people who've been putting that out there. But it's ridiculous.
I think the research is three beatings by the Celtics before last night.
That's not the team they're playing in the first round.
Exactly, man. No, but I think the argument is, how good actually are the Knicks?
But that makes zero
good
sense
enough to
because
beat the Pistons.
The team that they have a good record against are the teams they'll play in the first round. So to say they're not going to get past these other weaker teams because they can't beat the Celtics doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make logical sense.
By the way, your Nets screwed me last night, Bo.
I know.
The Nets could not beat the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Sixers desperately need the Pelicans to come up with a win to move from 5-4 in the tankathon. So the Sixers are now the 5 pick. Do you understand? I'd honestly rather root for the Sixers right now. I'm being dead honest. I do not want a team who is going to disappoint me in the playoffs like the Knicks. I'd rather just tank and just throw the dice for Cooper Flagg. Let's go.
The Sixers dropped the ball last season, didn't they not?
Last, what, 10 seasons? How many second-round exits they've had?
It's good to have a losing mentality.
Okay. Yeah, I'd rather rip the Band-Aid. And this is relevant, I think, to the NFL conversation. I'd rather just say, you know what? I'm not going to be like the Steelers, who we're going to get to next, and be 10-7 every year. I'd rather get really bad so you could get really good. And right now, the Knicks, I think they tried to get really good, but I don't think it's working.
Maybe. But to be honest, though, you have to be, as the Jerry Jones terrible quote is, you got to be around the rim. You can't go from, I'm going to be one of the worst teams. You can't be at ground zero and then say, all right, next year we're going to be at a championship. So you got to be close, right?
The Knicks.
What do you mean no?
I mean, the Sixers have been around the rim for 8 years.
The Denver Nuggets were around the rim. The Bucks were around the rim. The Celtics were around the rim. Okay, well, like,
but the Knicks.
You just told me last night Jason Tatum is not that guy.
The Celtics were in the finals. The Nuggets were the number one seed for three straight years. I don't think the Knicks are where those teams were. They're really around the rim. The Knicks are a little bit below the rim, like where I play. I mean, the Celtics were, you know, they had already made the finals. The Knicks are a little.
The Knicks are in the lane.
Behind.
Right. But the Nuggets hadn't made the finals before they won.
Yeah, but they had been.
Neither did the Bucks.
They had been the number one seed.
What about the Bucks?
they had multiple time MVPs. I think those teams were a little ahead of the Knicks. Is that fair to say?
That's fair for sure. But my point is that I just don't think that if you're a team, you don't want to, and trust me, I lived there. So, and you lived there with the process. You don't want to be in a situation where you're just 10 years of terrible play hoping that some guy just shows up.
That's why I got hired here. Because Spike Eskin, our former boss, got famous. Like, yes, I'm a Sam Hinkie acolyte.
Well, it got you some employment. I would like it too if that's the case.
Yeah,
but it's not something good for a basketball fan. No basketball fan look at that and say, Sixers, oh, great, we got Ben Simmons. That's awesome.
Do you think the Sixers fans would rather lose in the second round with Paul George and Joel Embiid,
yes,
or just see those guys go away and get...
They're not going away, Pearl. They're signed long term. I think your delusion about the Sixers situation is what I don't understand. Is okay, yes, you have a 7% chance to get someone who may be a generational player.
10.5.
Okay, 10.5. Great.
Don't take 3 points.
There's a 100% chance. There's a 100% chance that Joel Embiid's injured bad knee will be under contract next year. Okay. There's a 100% chance that Paul George is going to be under contract. So you're not. Those guys aren't going away. They're still there.
You quoted Jerry Jones to make your case, not to make fun of him. What's going on here?
I'm being real.
You're like Jerry Jones says. You got to be around the rim. We all killed him for that quote. It made no sense.
We got to put a poll up. Would you rather be in a situation where your team is destined to be in a tank?
Yeah.
Or would you rather be a team that is below title contention? I don't know why we want to describe it, but you could do the poll however you want to.
Let's shift this conversation to the NFL. And, Bogues, can you hang out for a second? Because this is relevant to your team, the New York Giants, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think this is a question that is staring the Pittsburgh Steelers right in the face. Do you want to be perennially good but not awesome? I know the NFL is different than the NBA, but generally it's the same philosophy. You got to get a high draft pick to get a star or get a quarterback. Well, let's get into that next, because I think that you have to rip the Band-Aid at some point. That's next, Maggie and Perloff Show.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop Early Access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie is taking a much-deserved break. EJ Stewart is sitting in the big chair. We came upon an interesting debate in the last segment. Would you rather be really bad and therefore at the top of a draft in the NFL or NBA, or would you rather be perennially good with no chance of winning a championship or little chance, kind of in limbo? I think limbo is the worst place to be in the NBA, and now it's developing to be a bad place to be in the NFL. I think you got to get really bad. You got to get your quarterback. And what do you have to do in the NBA? You have to find a generational star. You have to find your Luka. Hopefully you don't give him away. You have to find your Joker. You have to find your Giannis. So I think there is a philosophy to get really bad in the NBA. I have to admit I was okay with the process in Philadelphia. I know it's not very popular. I think, EJ, you're on the opposite side of this. You want to be good. You're not willing to totally tank.
I don't think you can perennially tank is the difference. Because look at the teams we're talking about at the top three. Let's say the NFL, right? Titans, Browns, and Giants. Now, Titans are kind of new to this because since they fired Mike Vrabel, but they have been terrible for 3 years now.
Right.
And now the Giants and the Browns have been terrible for pretty much their existence since the expansion, and the Giants have been terrible for 10 years. So to me, what you see is teams that have kind of taken this philosophy of, okay, well, we're losing, but don't worry, our savior is coming. That hasn't worked for those teams. These teams being at the top of the draft is not surprising. Now, if you're the Steelers or you're one of these teams that can't crack through, yes, it's frustrating, but I would look at some of these teams that have gone on kind of quote-unquote Cinderella runs like the Niners when they won 10 games and went to the Super Bowl or the Commanders last year and say, you know what? Those teams, like, they just
got
in.
Well, the Commanders got bad. They got to the two pick. So
they did, but I wouldn't sit there, though, and say, okay, they had to lose for, like, 20 years for that to happen. Like,
they did.
Right, but like, was those 20 years worth it? The Steelers were going to AFC Championship games. The Steelers may have won a Super Bowl during that time where the Commanders hadn't gone. They definitely did since they'd gone because of the Conference Championship game. So, like, the Steelers have had a lot of success in that time where the Commanders were losing for 25, 30 years.
But the Steelers are too well coached. They can't bottom out.
I know,
out.
It's terrible.
They can't bottom out. And
I wouldn't want to be either situation, to be clear. I want to be the Chiefs. I want to be your Eagles. That's the best situation.
So Andrew Bogus is here as a New York Giants fan. I know you get mad that I bring that up all the time.
Yeah.
I feel superior to you.
Yeah.
You guys are kind of screwed because you're bad, but you're not bad enough to get the number one or two pick. And last year, you missed out on Drake May and Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Both two quarterbacks that the franchise obviously wanted badly. I think you still should have taken a quarterback last year. You, even when you took Daniel Jones, that was not the right spot to be in.
No.
The one time they got the number one pick, it resulted in two Super Bowls, Eli Manning.
It
seems like the same thing is happening this year where they just missing the really good quarterback in Cam Ward because they tried, and I think they tried to trade up to get him. But now they're at three in an awkward spot once again.
Well, I would argue that they are bad enough to have the number one pick, and they keep forgetting that and winning an extra game or two thanks to Tommy DeVito and messing up the last two-plus seasons. Like, this should be over now. But to your original point, you need to be bad for 1 year.
Yes, if you could do a quick bad, then you're in good shape.
I mean, the Spurs did this. The Spurs tried to live in the middle, and it didn't work, and they finally got smart, and then they ended up with Wemby. Mm-hmm. Now, you might not end up with your Wemby, but you got at some point, you have to go down to the studs.
Yeah, I mean, the Spurs got lucky. David Robinson got hurt, and they got Tim Duncan as the number one pick. Mm. That is the best possible scenario. Same thing happened with the Colts. Peyton Manning got hurt. Andrew Luck came in, and they have 10 more years of playoffs.
But the problem with that is what happens is you're beholden to whoever the player is in that year, right? Like, we're talking about generational guys, Tim Duncan, Wembanyama, Jaden Daniels. Like, what if those guys aren't there? Like, a lot of people don't think there's a Jaden Daniels in this draft. So if you're a team that say, you know, we're going to tank and hope things go well, and then you sit there and you're like, these are my options. Where is my generational guy? Well, then what was the point of all this?
Well, and the point is just to have the power of picking the guy that you think is best, and it's unquestioned. Like, that you have the full power of the entire draft. And yeah, like, the Giants might have been in this spot and went, we want Abdul Carter over anybody else, and you have to deal with that, but at least they got the guy that they wanted 100%.
But it doesn't feel like they have a plan at quarterback, unless
they
that
don't.
Plan, unless that plan could be Arch Manning next
no,
year.
No, it's not.
Which is, to me, a very loose plan, because so much has to happen, and they'll probably win a late-season game and get themselves out of the number one pick. All right. We are going to solve the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback situation next. Maggie and Perloff Show.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.